Live from the Public Relations Department of the Royal Thai Government, this is Radio Thailand News.
So, today is Monday, March 25th of 2024, and this is Radio Thailand's Midday News Hour. I'm Krachang with Tachit, making the national headlines this lunchtime. The government pledges support and financial aid to the victims of a series of arson attacks that targeted four southern provinces last Friday. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Set Thawisin proceeds with his regional visit to Nakhon Ratchasima province following itineraries in Phitsanulok and Phitjit. Looking at the global scene, Israeli forces besieged two more Gaza hospitals, pinning down medical teams while accusing Hamas militants of using the hospitals as strongholds. And on the business agenda, Thailand Privilege Card reports an enlarged membership base while committing to attract more quality clients this year. We'll now take a look at those top headlines and many more in detail.
National News.
Brought to you by Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline, now flies direct, Bangkok to the Maldives four times a week.
And once again, welcome to the Midday News Hour, now live streaming from our Facebook page, Radio Thailand FM 88, first up in national news. The Thai government has pledged support and financial aid to the victims of a series of arson attacks that targeted four southern provinces last Friday, calling on the Royal Thai Police to conduct a thorough investigation and ensure that the affected individuals receive compensation. In an effort to address the violence, Prime Minister Set Thawisin over the weekend engaged in discussions with Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim, acknowledging Malaysia's role in mediating peace talks with southern insurgent groups. The attacks, executed in a coordinated fashion across 44 locations, are believed to be a demonstration of power amidst perceived security relaxations in Thailand's southern region. The violence disrupted the peace during Ramadan, claiming the life of a Myanmar woman in Pattani and prompting the discovery of an explosive device at a gas station, which was successfully neutralized by the Explosive Ordnance Disposal, or EOD, units. Yala Deputy Governor Anan Bun Samran has announced the formation of a joint compensation center to evaluate the damage and assist affected residents, although the timeline for this process remains unclear. Further supporting the recovery efforts, the Thai Health Promotion Foundation, or Thai Health, has secured additional funding from the World Bank aimed at providing continued assistance to the communities in Thailand's far south. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Set Thawisin yesterday visited the Thao Su Ratnari Monument dressed in a traditional shirt, seeking blessings before commencing his official duties in Nakhon Ratchasima province. The premier was welcomed by Siam Sirimongkorn, the acting governor of the province, along with various government officials and local residents. Accompanying him were several members of his cabinet, including Minister of Transport Suriya Jung Rung Rungkit, Minister of Tourism and Sports Suda Wan Wang Supakit Kosun, Minister of Digital Economy and Society Prasert Chantara Rongthong, and Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Cooperatives Chaya Proma. And during his visit, the Prime Minister conducted a prayer ceremony, wishing for the nation's growth and tranquility, and adorned the monument with a garland. Following the ceremony, he was presented with a replica of Thao Su Ratnari, a blessed Ganesha statue, and a commemorative coin of Prateb Wittiakum, or Luang Pokud. The items were presented to him by the abbot of Wat Pratnarai Maharaj, who also blessed the Prime Minister for success and prosperity. Set Tha proceeded with his regional visit to Nakhon Ratchasima province yesterday, following itinerary in Phitsanulok and Phitjit. The Prime Minister assessed the site designated for the Korat Expo 2029 in Te Pa Lai sub-district. The visits included discussions with local officials and community members about agricultural advancements and global trade opportunities for the area. The agenda included an inspection of the Tung Samrit Water Project, showcasing the government's commitment to agricultural resilience and effective water management in Nakhon Ratchasima Province. And later yesterday afternoon, Seh Thah was leading a strategy session in Pak Thong Chai District. The meeting was aimed at fostering collaboration between government agencies and local authorities to promote the economic development and social progress of Nakhon Ratchasima and the broader Northeast region. The Prime Minister was also set to visit the construction site of Skywalk in CQ District, a project aimed at enhancing tourism and access to the province's scenic landscapes. The evening's program focused on a cultural engagement starting at 6 p.m. with a visit to the Kumeung Market and Yamo Cultural Road as part of the Tao Su Ratnari Victory Day festivities. Also, Prime Minister's Office Minister Puong Pet Chulaiat recently engaged in a meeting with Prat Porombandit, president of both the International Council for the Day of Visak and the International Association of Buddhist Universities, to discuss Thailand's readiness to host the 2024 Visak Day. The global Buddhist event is scheduled for May 19th to May 20th. The meeting, which tables plans and coordination between related agencies to prepare for Visak Day on May 22nd, coincides with an auspicious year marking His Majesty the King's 72nd birthday anniversary on July 28th. Expecting the arrival of religious leaders and Buddhists from 73 countries, the government has pledged full cooperation, including logistical support and funding, to facilitate the event's success. Puong Pet stated that both the government and private sectors have been mobilized to collaborate and ensure the efficient organization of the celebration. Minister Puong Pet also expressed the government's commitment to ensuring the successful organization of the Visak Day celebrations, allowing Thailand to showcase itself as a central hub for Buddhism worldwide. She also invited Buddhist Thais to warmly welcome international guests, particularly or who participate in religious activities, and apply Buddhist teachings in their daily lives as a way to honor themselves, their families, and the auspicious occasion of His Majesty's birthday. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Seh Thah Thuy Sin has made a visit to the future location of the International Horticultural Expo 2029, situated in Te Palai Sub-District, Nakhon Ratchasima Province. The visit involved interaction with locals and an overview of the current development and planning stages for the upcoming events. And during his time there, Seh Thah engaged local leaders in discussions regarding the expo's potential to enhance tourism and its anticipated beneficial outcomes. He emphasized the necessity of strategic planning and budget management to guarantee the event's success and relevance. Set to take place from November 10, 2029 to February 28th of 2030, and known as Korat Expo 2029, the event has the theme of nature and greenery, envisioning the green future. And this major event puts a spotlight on Thailand's exquisite natural environments and its achievements in sustainable agriculture and horticultural. The upcoming International Horticultural Expo 2029 also seeks to transform Nakhon Ratchasima into a hub of innovation and ecological sustainability within the horticultural industry, setting a benchmark for green innovation in urban settings. And finally, for our national segment, in a story from Thai PBS World, the Bangkok Metropolitan Administration, or BMA, and its public and private sector partners managed to save 24.65 megawatts of electricity by reducing unnecessary lighting and power consumption between 8:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Saturday night in observance of the 60-plus Earth Hour 2024 global events. However, the electricity saved this year in Bangkok was less than last year, when 36 megawatts were saved. Carbon dioxide emissions were reduced by an estimated 5.2 tons. Thai PBS World reported that this reduction was equivalent to the carbon dioxide emissions from 43 flights between Bangkok and Chiang Mai province, a diesel car traveling a distance of 31,200 kilometers, or the switching off of lights in 23,400 households for an hour. Now, Ek Wattanyu Amrapan, Assistant Secretary to the Bangkok Governor, indicated that the electricity saved during the one-hour blackout campaign equaled the absorption of 11 tons of carbon dioxide by 1,100 trees. He said many households and businesses in Bangkok joined the electricity conservation campaign, and according to Thai PBS World, five landmark locations in Bangkok also took part. They were the Grand Palace, the Temple of the Emerald Buddha, Wat Arun, Wat Saket, and the Rama 8 Bridge. The BMA has taken part in this campaign since 2008, and by last year had saved a total of 22,512 megawatts of electricity worth about 81.14 million baht and cut carbon dioxide emissions by 12,260.6 tons. And that wraps up the national headlines this midday. Next in Global News. U.S. President Joe Biden and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida will unveil a plan next month to restructure the U.S. military command in Japan.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Think of Samui's blue waves that harmonize with the morning sun. Take snapshots of Angkor Wat with a tantalizing blue sky backdrop in Siem Reap. Think of Drat's beaches with a blue Hawaii cocktail in hand. Bangkok Airways is ready to fly you to your chosen domestic or international destination. Let the color blue bring you ultimate happiness. Bangkok Airways Boutique Blue. Call 1771 or visit bangkokair.com. Bangkok Airways, Asia's boutique airline.
Discover why New York City is one of the world's most iconic. Fly to the Big Apple on one of EVA Air's daily flights from Bangkok to New York. Stroll the exciting storefronts of Fifth Avenue, sit down in front of Belvedere Castle in Central Park, or be awestruck by the dazzling shows of Broadway. EVA Air offers comfortable and convenient travel to the city that never sleeps, every day of the week. Book now at evaair.com. Take me there, EVA Air.
Get ready to immerse yourself in the vibrant celebrations of Songkran as Thailand sets the stage for the Maha Songkran World Water Festival 2024, happening from April 11th to 15th, right in the hearts of Bangkok. Prepare to be enchanted by over 20 magnificent parade floats, showcasing the beauty and uniqueness of Thai Songkran traditions. So mark your calendars and get ready to make a splash at the Maha Songkran World Water Festival.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Global News.
Brought to you by EVA Air. Sharing the world, flying together.
And welcome back to our show. You are listening to the Midday News here on Radio Thailand. We broadcast live from FM 88 and online at nbt.prd.co.th. Let's take a look at the global issues this lunchtime. Israeli forces besieged two more Gaza hospitals on Sunday, pinning down medical teams under heavy gunfire and forcing the evacuation from one hospital of the most patients and displaced people sheltering there, according to the Palestinian Red Crescent. Israeli forces say hospitals in the Gaza Strip, where war has been raging for over 5 months, have frequently been used as strongholds of Hamas militants, harboring bases and weapons. Hamas and medical staff deny this. The Palestinian Red Crescent said one of his staff was killed when Israeli tanks suddenly pushed back into areas around Al Amal and Nasser hospitals in the southern city of Khan Yunis amid shelling and gunfire. The Red Crescent said in a statement that Israeli armored forces seal off Al Aman Hospital and carry out extensive bulldozing operations in this vicinity, and that all of its teams are in extreme danger at the moment and are completely immobilized. And that was a quote. It also said Israeli forces demanded the complete evacuation of staff, patients, and displaced people from Al Amal, and fire smoke bombs into the area to try to push out its occupants. Hours later, the Red Crescent said all patients who could be moved, as well as displaced people who found refuge from fighting in the hospital compound, had been evacuated westwards to Al-Mawasi, a coastal beach settlement. It added that hospital staff remain along with 9 severely ill or wounded people and 10 companions, as well as a displaced family with special needs. Earlier, the Red Crescent said a displaced Palestinian was killed inside the hospital premises by Israeli gunfire. The Israeli military said its forces were hitting infrastructure in Khan Yunis, used as lairs for numerous militants. Hamas denied using hospitals or military ends and accuses Israel of war crimes against civilian targets. Khan Yunis residents said Israeli forces had also advanced and formed a cordon around Nasser Hospital in western Khan Yunis under cover of heavy fire from the air and ground. In other parts of the world, U.S. President Joe Biden and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida will reportedly unveil a plan next month to restructure the U.S. military command in Japan in the face of shared regional concerns. The Financial Times, citing people familiar with the situation, said the plan would strengthen operational planning and military exercises between the two countries. It is due to be announced at the White House on April 10th, when Biden is scheduled to host Kishida at a formal event that will include a lavish state dinner and a policy meeting, according to the Times. Japan is a close ally of the United States and a key component of its strategy towards China, North Korea, and other areas it considers major Asian security issues. Washington has strongly endorsed a major military buildup by Japan as military and security activity between the U.S. and its major Asian allies has strengthened. More than a year ago, Japan pledged to double its defense spending to 2% of its gross domestic products and to procure missiles that can strike ships or land-based targets 1,000 kilometers away. Japan has recently called China's rapidly expanding military power a serious concern for itself and the international community. Now, late last year, Japan appointed a serving government official to act as its de facto defense attaché in Taiwan, elevating security ties in a move likely to anger China, which aims the strategic island as its own. Japan also angered China earlier this year by congratulating Taiwan's new president-elect, Lai Ching-te. Japan, like most countries, does not have official diplomatic relations with Taiwan, which is a precondition for establishing diplomatic ties with China. Moving on with our show this afternoon, Singapore's former Transport Minister S. Iswaran has handed 8 more charges in a corruption case today in one of the city's state's highest profile corruption scandals. The anti-graft body known as the Corrupt Practices Investigation Bureau, or CPIB, said in a statement that the additional charges involve allegations that Iswaran obtained valuable items worth about 18,956 Singapore dollars or $14,077 while he was a minister. The items were allegedly from an individual whose business had dealings with the Transport Ministry. Iswaran now faces a total of 35 charges in a case that has gripped Singapore, a major Asian financial hub that prides itself on a squeaky clean government that is rarely affected by graft and political scandal. The last corruption case involving a minister was in 1986, when the National Development Minister was investigated for allegedly accepting bribes. The minister died before he could be charged in court. The 61-year-old Iswaran denies the charges, according to local media reports. And those include corruption and obstructing the course of justice, which were leveled on January 18th. If convicted of graft, he could be fined up to 100,000 Singapore dollars or face 7 years in prison. He was arrested in July of last year and alleged to have obtained kickbacks worth 384,340 Singapore dollars, or roughly around 286,000 US dollars, from property tycoon Ong Beng Seng, partly to advance Ong's business interests. Chart sheets show the favors, which include tickets to football matches, musicals, a fight on Ong's private plane, and tickets to the Singapore Formula One Grand Prix. Iswaran was advisor to the Grand Prix steering committee, while Ong owns the rights to the race. In other parts of the world, Russia lowered flags to have mass for a day of mourning on Sunday after scores of people were gunned down with automatic weapons at a rock concert outside Moscow in a deadliest attack inside Russia for two decades. President Vladimir Putin declared a national day of mourning after pledging to track down and punish all those behind the attack, which left 133 people dead, including three children, and more than 150 were injured. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for Friday's attack, but Putin has not publicly mentioned the militant group in connection with the attackers, who he said had been trying to escape to Ukraine. He asserted that some on the Ukrainian side had prepared the spirit or to spirit them across the border. Ukraine has repeatedly denied any role in the attack, which Putin also blamed on international terrorism. People laid flowers at Crocus City Hall, the 6,200-seat concert hall outside Moscow, where four armed men burst in on Friday, just before Soviet-era rock group Picnic was to perform its hits Afraid of Nothing. The men fired their automatic weapons in short bursts at terrified civilians, many of whom fell screaming in a hail of bullets. It was the deadliest attack on Russian territory since the 2004 Beslan school siege, when Islamist militants took more than 1,000 people hostage, including hundreds of children. Long lines formed in Moscow on Saturday to donate blood. In the southwestern city of Voronezh, people were laying flowers and lighting candles, at a monument to children who died there in a World War II bombing, in solidarity with those who died in the attack near Moscow. And leaving you with, the Nigerian army has rescued students and staff who were abducted by gunmen from a school in the country's north earlier this month. The rescue operation took place just days before a deadline to pay a $690,000 ransom. The kidnapping of 287 students on March 7th in Kuriga, a dusty town in the northwestern state of Kaduna, was the first mass abduction in Africa's most populous nation since 2021, when more than 150 students were taken from a high school in Kaduna. Military spokesperson Major General Edward Buba said 137 hostages, 76 females and 61 males, were rescued in the early hours of Sunday in the neighboring states of Zamfara. A security source earlier said the students had been freed in a forest and were being escorted to Kaduna's capital for medical tests before being reunited with their families. It was not immediately known whether security forces had to extract the hostages from the hands of their captors or whether there had been any clashes in the process. Kaduna Governor Uba Sani had earlier put the total number of hostages at over 200. Abductions in Nigeria schools were first carried out by the jihadist group Boko Haram, which seized 276 students from a girls' school in Chibok in northeastern Borno State a decade ago. Some of the girls have never been released. And since then, the tactic has been widely adopted by criminal gangs without ideological affiliation. Last week, the gunmen demanded 1 billion naira, or $690,000 for the release of the missing children and staff. The government has said it would pay no ransom. The practice was outlawed in 2022, however. Kidnappings by criminal gangs demanding ransoms have become an almost daily occurrence in the region, especially in northern Nigeria. And those were our global reports. Next up in business. Australia's government will support a minimum wage increase in line with inflation this year as low-income families continue to grapple with the cost of living.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
Whether to Asia, Europe, or the USA from Bangkok, flying with EVA Air means flying an elevated journey of comfort. Passengers flying Royal Laurel Class, EVA Infinity, Mileage Lands, Diamond, Gold, or Silver members, and Star Alliance Gold Card members are welcomed to access the EVA Air Bangkok Airport Lounge. Certified 5-star by Skytrax in 2023 for its striking design, ample facilities, and excellent service, the lounge is located in Zone F on the third floor of Suvarnabhumi Airport and is open daily from 6 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. In the air, Infinity Mileage Lands members who booked through the EVA website or mobile app receive 50 megabytes of free in-flight Wi-Fi. Have a wonderful journey from start to arrival. EVA Air, sharing the world, flying together.
Advertise with Radio Thailand. Call 092-654-9899.
Business News.
And in today's business reports, Thailand Privilege Card Company Limited, the operator of the special long-stay visa program supported by the Tourism Authority of Thailand, or TAT, revealed that its membership base has grown to a record size by the end of 2023. And this year, Thailand Privilege Card is seeking to attract more quality clients to become members by bolstering its position as a leader in long-stay visa privileges. TAT Governor Thapani Kiet Phaibun, in her capacity as chairman of the board of director at Thailand Privilege Card Company Limited, revealed that the Privilege Card membership base will be expanded this year. Expansion targets include China, Japan, the United States, England, and South Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Russia, and Europe. New targets include India and the Middle East, where there is substantial purchasing power. Under the concepts of long-term visa with more privileges, Thailand Privilege Card is working to elevate the quality of products and benefits offered to members to reinforce its position as leader in long-stay visa privileges. Thailand Privilege Card's MORE strategy comprises the aspects of M for member-centric, O for opportunity, R for responsibility, and E for excellence. The member-centric approach calls for the elevation of product and benefits quality, as well as the delivery of products and incentives that respond to diverse lifestyles. The opportunity approach calls for the development of online and offline communication channels to improve access to potential clients in Thailand and abroad. The responsibility approach involves the promotion of corporate social responsibility. Meanwhile, the excellence approach is associated with bringing in technology for the purpose of improving work effectiveness, with part of the approach involving the development of personnel towards excellence. Thailand Privilege Card has a target to acquire 39,000 members this year and help with generating 50 billion baht worth of income for Thailand. To become a member, the foreigner applying for a privilege card must pass a preliminary qualification screening by Thailand Privilege Card Company Limited. After passing the initial screening, the applicant must pass a background check by the Immigration Bureau and Department of Consular Affairs. And this is to ensure that holders of the privilege card do not hold criminal records. A privilege card member needs to report to an immigration office once the stay reaches the 90-day mark, and again when the stay reaches 1 year. Now, leaving Thailand, Australia's government will support a minimum wage increase in line with inflation this year as low-income families continue to grapple with cost of living, although the rise would be smaller as inflation eased. In a submission to the Fair Work Commission's 2023-2024 annual wage review to be unveiled on Thursday, the Labour government will recommend the increase in order to ensure that the real wages of the low-paid workers do not go backwards, a position which the government has held in the last 2 years. Treasurer Jim Chalmers said in a TV interview today that certainly the expectation is that the minimum wage will be lifted. He also said, quote, end quote, once again, this is all about ensuring that people can earn more. I think that the government recognized that cost of living pressures do fall disproportionately on the lower paid in Australia's workplaces. Last July, the FWC hiked the minimum wage by 5.75% as cost of living surge, a decision which some had feared would further stoke inflation. However, there's been no sign of a damaging wage price spiral, and inflation has slowed to two-year lows of 3.4% from a peak of 8.4%. The Reserve Bank of Australia see inflation's edging down to 3.3% by June of 2024. The Labour government has also pledged more cost of living relief in the upcoming budget in May and will deliver tax cuts for every taxpayer from July of this year. Meanwhile, the World Bank has said it will publish more of its proprietary data, including on debt defaults, starting this week as part of a push to attract more private sector investment to developing countries. World Bank President Ajay Banga, speaking at the China Development Forum early on Sunday, said the World Bank Group had mobilized $41 billion U.S. dollars of private capital for emerging markets. He also said it raised another $42 billion from the private sector for bond issuance last year, with both totals to be eclipsed this year. However, he said more progress was needed, and the bank was taking action on a number of fronts to overcome barriers holding back private sector investment to developing economies. Banga further noted that economic growth has slowed in developing countries, with growth falling to barely 4% from 6% in two decades, adding that each loss percentage point dragged 100 million people into poverty, while debt levels were rising. The World Bank president said developing countries also face an unimaginable gap between 1.1 billion young people expected to enter the workforce in the next decade and expected job creation of just 325 million jobs. To better understand the issues, he said the bank convened a focus group with 15 chief executives of asset management companies, banks, and operators to identify concerns such as regulatory certainty, political risk insurance, and foreign exchange risk. The bank last month already announced reform that will consolidate its loan and investment guarantee structure and triple its annual guarantees to $20 billion by 2030. Starting this week, Banga said the bank and a consortium of development institutions would also start publishing private sector recovery data by county income level as a step to inspire investor confidence. Additionally, he said the World Bank would publish private sector default data broken down by credit rating, as well as sovereign default and recovery rate statistics dating back to 1985. And lastly today, Thai PBS World reported that Chairman of the Thailand Development Research Institute, or TDRI, Dr. Somkiat Thongkitwanit, has advised the government not to interfere with the Bank of Thailand over the policy interest rates, warning that it may seriously impact the economy to the extent that the government may not survive. Speaking at the Prachachat Business Forum, Somkiat cited the case of Turkey, where the government became embroiled in a conflict with the central bank over the government's desire to cut interest rates, leading to the sacking of three board members of the bank. In the end, however, the interest rate cut resulted in an 80% spike in inflation in the country. He also cited another lesson learned in the United Kingdom, when then Prime Minister Liz Truss, who was only in office in September and October 2022, defined the central bank's advice by ordering a cut in taxes. He said that in the end, the economy of the country suffered and the Prime Minister had to step down. And those were our business news stories this afternoon. Next, we have more of Radio Thailand News coming up.
This is Radio Thailand News.
Like the FM 88 Radio Thailand English Service and Radio Thailand World Service Facebook pages. Publicly like our reward posts. Share hashtag RTH World Service, hashtag FM 88, and hashtag Radio Thailand. And comment on why you love listening to FM 88. Or follow at Radio Thailand World on TikTok. Repost our pinned post and write a comment on why you love the Radio Thailand World TikTok. Chosen users win a prize. Join in while they last.
Supporting cultural creators in the kingdom, Thailand is contributing to the soft power of all of ASEAN. Ranked second in the region on the Global Soft Power Index, Thailand is committed to uplifting its sources of soft power, the five Fs of food, film, fashion, fighting, and festivals, so ASEAN may stand even taller on the international stage.
The government of Thailand is committed to eradicating corruption and misconduct from all sectors, including within official agencies. All government agents are instructed to not fall victim to corruption schemes and to never take advantage of the public, whether citizens or visitors to the country. By starting with civil servants, the government affirms that everyone is part of the fight against corruption.
Welcome to Uniquely Thailand, a program that brings you a great history, a wonderful culture, and one-of-a-kind performances from our beautiful nation. From the majestic five-star hotels in the capital, to simple mountainous resorts in the north. From the stunning plains and hills of the Golden Triangle, to the white sand beaches in the south. Thailand has so much to offer that one visit is never enough. On February 1st of 2018, the Thai Parliament approved the Law for Trade and Investment in the Eastern Economic Corridor, or EEC. With the EEC, Thailand hopes to develop its eastern provinces into a leading ASEAN economic zone. The sea straddles three eastern provinces of Thailand, Chonburi, Rayong, and Chacheng Sau, off the coast of the Gulf of Thailand, and spans a total of 13,285 square kilometers. The government hopes to complete the EEC by 2021, turning these provinces into a hub for technological manufacturing and services with strong connectivity to its ASEAN neighbors by land, sea, and air. As of January 1st of 2018, the EEC has attracted $9.3 billion in promised FDI, according to data provided by Thailand's Board of Investments, or BOI. The government expects $43 billion, or 1.5 trillion Thai baht, for the realization of the EEC over the next 5 years. This funding will come from a mix of state funds, public-private partnerships, or PPPs, and foreign direct investment, or FDI. The government has identified four core areas essential in making the EEC a renowned economic zone. They include increased and improved infrastructure, business, industrial clusters and innovation hubs, tourism, and the creation of new cities through smart urban planning. The government predicts the creation of 100,000 jobs a year in the manufacturing and service industry by 2020 through the EEC. Thailand's eastern seaboard already enjoys strong connectivity to neighboring countries and established trade routes. The seaboard has seen success in petrochemical, automobile, and electronics industries. A major focus of the EEC is to improve existing connectivity and foster manufacturing and innovation. The government envisions creating established sea routes from the eastern provinces of Thailand to Myanmar's ongoing Da Wei Deep Sea Port projects, Cambodia's Sihanoukville ports, and Vietnam's Vang Tau ports. The government is expanding the Lam Shabang seaports, already the country's biggest, with the goal of transforming it into a marine hub of Southeast Asia. To improve connectivity by air, Thailand is expanding the Utapao Airport in Rayong Province substantially, with the opening of a second passenger terminal and runway. The Utapao Airport's passenger capacity will increase from its current 800,000 people to 3 million per year. The expansion will not only facilitate an increase in tourist arrivals attracted to Thailand's eastern beaches, but will also transform Utapao into a hub for aviation maintenance, repair, and overhaul, air cargo, and logistics. Connectivity by road will improve with the development of high-speed and double-track railways connecting ports, airports, industrial clusters, and major urban centers throughout Thailand. In order to realize the four core areas of development, the government has identified 15 major investment projects for the EEC. Additionally, Thailand is planning to build a digital park in Siracha, located on the coast of Chonburi Province, in hopes of developing an Eastern Economic Corridor of Innovation, or EECI, a complementary project which will provide digital connectivity. From the above list, the Thai government has selected five projects to initiate the EEC. These projects will be given initial priority and will provide the foundations for subsequent developments in the EEC. The government expects the Utapao Airport to usher in a wave of new tourists. Developing the airport further will also expand the EEC's reach into the aviation sector. The administration also plans to increase the Lam Chabang's port connectivity and capacity within the first year of the EEC's developments. In developing the EEC, the government is prioritizing the creation of faster and more comprehensive routes between airports, ports, industrial clusters, and urban centers. The development of a high-speed railway from Bangkok to Rayong will connect three international airports, Don Mueang, Suvarnabhumi, and Uttapao, within 1 hour. According to Thailand's Board of Investment, or BOI, the total amount of foreign investment reached 790 projects by the end of 2016. Foreign investment reached 158 digital projects at $46.85 billion. Top investors by country include Japan at $1.1 billion, Singapore at $756 million, China at $721 million, and Hong Kong at $558 million. While these investments are not limited to the EEC, the government is positioning the EEC to handle much of this forthcoming work. In anticipation of a population surge in its eastern provinces, the government plans to create new cities to accommodate more people. The Thai government envisions these cities as inclusive, with international quality education and healthcare. The government is currently identifying potential locations for planned urban growth. The Thai government is hoping to secure much of the funding for the EEC through PPPs and FDI. Offering attractive incentives for both foreign investment and foreign presence in the EEC will be essential in realizing the EEC's developments. The Eastern Economic Corridor Bill has been set to amend or suspend more than 100 Thai laws and regulations within the EEC, which restrict foreign investment and generally curb the ease of doing business. While the government has yet to finalize a comprehensive list of incentives, the government has announced a major cut in personal income tax to 17% for investors in the EEC, land leases of up to 50 years, and a free flow of foreign currencies in the three eastern provinces. Furthermore, a 50% reduction in corporate income tax over a period of 5 years is now on offer for investors in the three provinces which comprise the EEC. The development of the EEC is a clear indicator that the Thai government is aiming to diversify its economy, moving away from previous dependence on the garments and agriculture industries. The government plans to expand urban centers within the EEC and is working to develop advanced training programs to improve its skills workforce. Expansion of airports, railways, and seaports may very well transform Thailand's eastern provinces into a robust and dynamic commercial region. With the creation and expansion not only of manufacturing centers but entire cities, the success of Thailand's EEC may open up Thailand as a premier investment and business location of ASEAN. Uniquely Thailand will return next time with more great stories, unforgettable cultural events, and memorable activities that can only be found in our beloved kingdom, the Land of Smiles. Thank you for joining us today. Sawadee krap.
Radio Thailand News. Thailand Magazine.
Volcanoes, one of the Earth's mightiest displays of power. They raise islands out of the sea, turn civilizations to ash. When people think of Thailand, they don't normally picture volcanoes, but that's exactly what lies at Khao Krathong Forest Park. at 265 meters high, Kaukradong Volcano is actually the youngest of six volcanoes in Buriram, having erupted only 600,000 to 900,000 years ago. The park is open to visitors who can take the 297-step staircase. The railings have been sculpted into the Naga serpents of Thai mythology. If 300 steps to see a volcano sounds a bit daunting, visitors can always take a private car to the top. Near the summit is the Pratsupattarabhapit Buddha statue, which stands 14 meters tall and 12 meters wide. The park also has a collection of volcanic stones formed by molten basalt during the eruption. The stones are porous and can actually float in water. Although volcanoes are seen as nature's ultimate display of power and destruction, many indigenous plants have since reclaimed the area and flourished. For those interested, visit worldwideweb.tourismthailand.org for more information. This volcano may be extinct, but our sense of adventure isn't.
Using international level mechanisms to bring prosperity and progress to southern border localities, the government has made strides to bolster the economy of Pattani Province by amplifying its export of products through the ASEAN Free Trade Area, or AFTA. Deciding to focus on promoting the trade of goods from Pattani, the government acknowledges the great potential of the unique and quality products made in the southern province, while also intending to use economic development to shore up efforts to inspire social harmony and unity throughout the southern region. The expansion of exports from Pattani is being supported through the network creation linking four southern border provinces with AFTA project. The Department of Trade Negotiations hosted a seminar in the province to indicate ways exporters can boost their sales via the free trade area, underlining that Pattani is positioned as a source for agricultural goods and halal products of high quality. Participants in the seminar were given knowledge about AFTA, marketing strategies, and an outlook on the international market. Goods being focused on include batik fabric, fish crackers, velvet tamarind, honey, and ginger. Relevant agencies were also on hand to aid in bettering local products to meet the needs of the market, with an emphasis placed on environmental care and sustainability. State offices are also looking to make more use of ongoing support programs, such as One Tambon, One Product, as well as Geographical Indication, or GI. The ASEAN Free Trade Area was agreed at the 1992 ASEAN Summit. Its main objectives are to create a single market and an international production base, attract foreign direct investments, and expand intra-ASEAN trade and investments. A stated purpose of the area is to leverage the huge potentials and complementarities that exist in the ASEAN region in order to strengthen and deepen intra-ASEAN industrial linkages, including creating strength and competitiveness in small and medium businesses. Data shows that Pattani exported fresh, frozen, and canned crabs worth $46 million US dollars to foreign countries, mainly China, Australia, and South Korea in 2022. It also sold dried fish to Japan, Sri Lanka, and the United States, and fabric, in particular batik, to India, Pakistan, and Vietnam.
You're listening to Radio Thailand News.
The Future of Asia by Vikram. The future of Asia today, we would like to talking about why a lot of the foreigners would like to come to visit Thailand. I myself, I'm a half Chinese, half Thai, and I'm the fourth generation in Thailand. I'm really Thai. So I really found, I'm so lucky that I'm stay in Thailand. And really my grandfather, great-grandfather, they choose the right nation that they are coming. I myself didn't found how lucky I do. But if I looking to the friend who came from many another country, they always said they don't want to go back home. They feel Thailand is the best for them. The reason is they found Thai people is so friendly to the foreigner. And all the foreigners is so happy when they are in Thailand. And so many reasons why the foreigners like Thailand. Number one, I think it should be the culture. If you're looking the culture of Thai, we are so friendly. We are not aggressive. And plus that we have Buddhism. All the Thai originally came from the southern part of China in Sipsong Panna. That is our interest. They are peace. They are always cooperate, not fighting. So I went there and I really learned the people then in Sipsong Panna, it like Thailand. I have been made the last king of Sipsong Panna, and they always feel that Thailand, Thai people is their relative. So they always believe that they come to Thailand 900 years ago, and Thai people here have Buddhism. So make Thai more happy than the Sipsong Panna. I will continue about this topic in next day. Thank you.
The Future of Asia by Vikram.
From the mist-covered mountains of the north and the green forests of the northeast to the crystal-clear blue waters of the south, Thailand is a prime destination for environmental tourism, a place where travelers won't only indulge in nature but gain an even deeper appreciation. Official efforts have preserved the purity of Thailand's natural treasures and made them ready to be seen and enjoyed.
In support of visitors to Thailand taking part in the country's thriving meetings, incentives, conventions and exhibitions, or MICE industry, the nation's government is providing fast-track visas to event attendees. Easier entry will make it so that more people can be a part of Thailand's global-level expos and festivals, pushing them to even greater heights, fulfilling Thailand's potential as a regional venue.
Making sure that Thailand's economic and commercial progress are also sustainable and positive are the government's efforts promoting the bio-circular green economic model. Aimed at spreading economic benefits from people to the environment, the BCG model adds social value to the nation's resources and supply chains. Fostering sustainable growth, BCG is a key national policy.
And that's why we wrap up the Midday News Hour for Monday, March 25th of 2024. Our next news hour is at 7 p.m. tonight, but you can catch Radio Thailand's hourly news for updates throughout the day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good time.